just want you to lift your hands during this and just magnify him, because he's the God that brings us through. He's the God that brings you through. Hallelujah.
I exalt you, Lord.
I don't know exactly when David wrote this, but I know what it was about. An army was just outside of Jerusalem, and they were marching on the holy city. He was an aged man now. He wasn't the lion killer, the giant killer. He was a gray-headed old man who loved the Lord. His best friend had just betrayed him to his enemies. To make it worse, the army that was encamped about the coup d'etat was his son, his own beloved son, was marching with thousands of men to take the city. And I'm sure that Satan was right at his right hand, just telling him all the mistakes he'd ever made in his life, and the right that the enemy had to come and take everything away from him. They scurried into his palace, and they grabbed him, and they grabbed as many of his entourage as they possibly could, and they were trying to get him to leave. They were trying to get him to leave. They took the Ark of the Covenant with him. And David said, send it back. Send it back into the place where the holy city's at. And somewhere in all that, he began to write. It was somewhere in that experience. The thousands and thousands be encamped about me. Though the enemy is probably telling him, I can do this because of past failures. You didn't raise your kids right. You didn't do this right. You didn't do that right. You're in the mess that you're in because you put yourself here. David looked up and he said, Lord, you are the glory and the lifter of my head. I put my trust in one and one alone. That's the one who sanctifies me and cleanses me from all unrighteousness. And you're the glory and the lifter of my head. Hallelujah. God restored him, put him right back on his throne. But what he wanted more than anything else was to never lose the presence of God. Would you sing this song with me one more time? Would you lift your hands? And if Satan is breathing down your neck today, there's an atmosphere of failure, defeat, reminding of anything that he says he's got a right to be around, kick it to the curb. Begin to remind yourself that the blood of Jesus is stronger than anything of your past. Hallelujah. And he does not have the right to destroy you. He does not have the right to take your body. He does not have the right to take anything from you, as long as you put your trust in that one who sanctifies us, sets us apart, and gives us the grace to go on and live holy lives. Would you sing this with me? Lift your hands. Hallelujah, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. How many of you felt his presence in that? Would you give somebody a great big hug? You're going to have to get up to do that. Hallelujah. Give them a great big hug. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just edify you for just a moment. Look inside and see what the Lord would have you to give this morning. Turn with me to Luke chapter 8, something we've covered before in the past. Just three verses there. Praise God. How many of you are having a good time already? Feeling the presence of the Lord.
And it came to pass, verse 1, chapter 8, Luke, that after he, that's Jesus, went through every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Praise God. Well, what are we after? We're after preaching, but we're also after showing. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is not in word only, but it's in power. And the last day church is looking, the world's looking for something with power. I thank God for all good teaching, wherever you can find it. But I thank God also that Jesus did not just preach. He demonstrated. So the church at large hasn't seen much of that. And we're contending for it. We haven't arrived. We want to come to a place where when you bring them in here, they not only said, man, that was some good teaching. Praise God for good teaching. Thank God for good doctrine. Thank God for people that can teach to where you just fall off the edge of your chair. Well, I got a good revelation. Wonderful. But what he wants in this last hour is this. Not only for us to be able to teach, he wants us to be able to show. Hallelujah. What kind of show? Well, bring those blind eyes here. Bring those deaf ears here. I believe we're on the right path, don't you? Well, he was showing the tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary Magdalene, or Mary called Magdalene, out of which went seven devils. Luke, the physician, he's a doctor. He's real articulate. He didn't say that she just got devils cast out of her. He said there were seven of them. And certain women that were healed of infirmities, they followed him. And this particular woman, she was one of them. And it says here, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward. Now, Herod, that's King Herod. And he's the bad guy who's trying to kill Jesus. But his steward, his accountant, the guy that's working for him, his wife is following Jesus around and writing checks for his ministry. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. And Chuza, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, we don't know who she was, but she must have been pretty notable. So it doesn't say she had any devils cast out of her, or she was connected with somebody of hierarchy. It just says Susanna. Everybody must have known in her day who she was. And many others which ministered unto him of their what? Substance. Well, Jesus didn't take up offerings, so I don't believe you should. No, he didn't, but he received them. He received them. Well, what do you think about it? Well, I think this, when the entrepreneurs, as well as the people that are called to doctrine and power and those things, because those people that have called to doctrine and power haven't arrived yet either. We haven't arrived yet either. But when the entrepreneurs come to a place in this last days, the ones that are called to give, there might not be so many offerings taken, but they'll still be received. Because they'll be sponsoring, writing the checks behind closed doors. And well, what about offerings? Well, Paul took them up. I can show you plenty of scriptures. I mean, that's undebatable. But I'll tell you this, it's best. Why were these women following him around? Because he was promising them a place in his kingdom? No. Promising them a prominent place in his kingdom? How many of you think that Mary Magdalene was the day that she got delivered from those seven devils that had tormented her? Brought her to the place probably of suicide several times. The moment those things were cast out, do you think that there was something inside of her that said, I just can't give enough to this man's ministry. I want other people to get. The the same deliverance that I've got. And other women whose infirmities, thank God for the women that were following Jesus around and ministering to him of their substance. Hallelujah. Why? Because he was a worthy cause. He was a worthy cause. Well, we're seeking God for an outpouring. We haven't arrived, but we believe. Say this with me. I say that Immokalee is in revival. The blind see. The lame walk. The deaf hear. The dumb speak. The dead are raised. Demoniacs are set free. Maimed are made whole. Thousands and thousands are born again in this revival. Oh, I forgot one that's the greater one than raising the dead. I forgot that one. I say that we can, as a threefold cord, actually, as born again, spirit-filled believers, we can get along with each other while the Father works revival in our midst. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we could have revival, Pastor. But that bunch from Ocala is sitting in my seat this morning. I don't even know them, but I'm offended. No, I'm just kidding. Hallelujah. Praise God. Would you just ask him what he'd have you to give this morning? Father, we thank you for your great grace and your love here this morning. More than anything else, what we want is your love, Father. We're asking you to pour it out on us. Pour it out on us. Teach us, Father. And we just give you all the glory and praise and honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Family prayer center. So, one more time, why don't you just stand? You probably already greeted someone, but you can bring this down as we worship. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. Well, I was looking around. There she is. Loretta, Miss Loretta. Could you get that? Come on up here. How many are glad to see Loretta, Miss Loretta, and the Church of Ocala? Or many of them. I don't know if all of them are. But, yeah. Hallelujah. Why don't you just say hi?
Hi.
No. Greet. Yes. Well, if it's not, I can fix it.
Okay.
I'd fixed it.
Thank you.
Yes. Go ahead and pray over.
Go ahead and pray over the offering. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God, that this ministry walks in abundance and never lack. We thank you, Father, for continued abundance. And we bless each and every one that has given this day, each and every one that is here this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Let's go ahead and just say, okay. Read the people a little bit.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. I want to share, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I never thought Pastor was going to give me the mic anymore because I've been keeping it too long when he gives it to me. The other night, I was praying for this day. I was praying for the people of Ocala that were coming up, for the deposits that God was going to make in us this day. And they will take place because we're here because we're supposed to be here. But the Lord shifted my prayer. He shifted my prayer to the people of Immokalee. Not the ones that I know real well. Not the ones that everyone knows real well. That's in the front. That's ministering. That's greeting. That's helping. That's serving. But those that come in here and leave, and they're touched by the presence of God. And that's it. The week goes by. And they come back. And there's a strong presence, and there's a strong word, and there's a strong teaching. But no transformation is taking place. And the Lord was showing me his love for those that no one sees. that no one talks to, and you see this group this size, and you say, how could there be anyone here that no one's talking to? But maybe we're just talking and not ministering his love to them. And he wants Honya Makita, he wants Honya Mashita, he wants the elders of the church to take a stand in stepping out and looking for those that only come and only go and don't share with anybody. But he also wants Honya Makita, those that I'm speaking to, it could be one, it could be 10, it could be 20, I have no clue. But those that he's speaking to, he wants them to take a step, to see the elders after church, to tell them that you need help. Because you hear these teachings, and I don't care what anointing we're under each and every day. If we're not ministering to God on our own time, nothing in us is going to change. And that's a word for me. It's a word for everyone. A couple of weeks ago, the Lord gave a word on what's our excuse. What is our excuse going to be when we get to heaven and see Jesus and we didn't finish the course he had planned for us? We have no excuse because we have the Holy Ghost. And I just want to encourage you, because when I prayed for you, it was prayers of love coming forth, because the Father is so in love with each and every one and wants each and every one of us to finish the course that he has for us. Hallelujah. So take those steps forward. Ask someone for help. Ask someone for prayer. Ask someone for encouragement. And then do what you need to do, what we know to do, what we know to do on our own. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Would you just worship with me just a little bit more? Father, we just magnify you. Harry, we worship you, glorify you. Mokrastiane. Jesus. Jesus. We glorify you. We exalt you, Jesus. Just begin to breathe him in and speak his name over and over. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. We glorify you. We glorify you. We glorify you. Exalt you, Jesus. Magnify you. Magnify you. Makala nefrenyastu. Namakrosto. Thank you, Jesus. We glorify you. We exalt you. We exalt you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, sir. Well, I think we'll get to the word here maybe in a little bit, but I think
think that Ocala bunch needs to come up here and stand. A whole bunch. I think he's got something for you. So, Mahorevena Chech Dene Framosche Marasoka Dene, Jesus. The rest of you are out there. We'll get an opportunity to minister this morning. So, elders, prayer people, come on up, be a part of it. Hallelujah, Jesus. List, yeah, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. If you're out there in the congregation, just keep praying in tongues and worshiping the Lord. Lift it up. Just magnify you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. Yes, sir. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody bring Homer around here with me. Get him up there. Makalasio. Hey, aloch, revena, etche, 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 machalase, rakioblase, yes, sir. For I come with my love, saith the Spirit of grace. Hajevraso, I'm coming with a washing. With a washing and strength for all of those standing present. Let my grace infuse you with strength. Various things that you stand before me in and desire of me to bring forth in your life. I'll come on that line. What I need from you is your trust in me as Father. To be able to begin to recline in a place of safety. Begin to give more and more of who you are and let me come. Let me come into your life and occupy a space in there more and more. Giving yourself over to that place. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, I worship. Jesus, I worship you, Jesus. I glorify you. You don't have to be in a hurry. If he touches you, just let him touch you. Jesus, makrote name. Jesus' name. There he is. Masote. Yes, sir. Yes, Jesus. Makroste name. Oh, jekete. Alecharese. I see him restoring some things. Restoring. Restoration. Mahatye, frohote, oh, strong love for his word and truth. You've been looking. You're finding, says the Spirit of grace. Harese, tjekate, omakalesete, harivat yocha, oh, Jesus, yeah. You heard my voice. You heard my voice to come on in. Lay down your nets. It was the right time. You made the right choice. That's why all this word and doctrine's been being added on. You'll find out in the days ahead what it's all about. In Jesus' name. Give it to him, Lord. Give it to him. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hey, Makote. Areze diakolosoto. A resurgence of the hunger of God. It's been a season where you thought at times he had forgotten about you. He hasn't forgotten about you. Word says that he's placed his image, he's placed your image in the palm of his hand. He's placed it there. You're ever before him, night and day. you'll give him this next season of your life. Some of the things that are standing in front of you right now, you're going to get past, and you wonder, how in the world did we get past it? It wasn't in the world. It was through my grace, saith the Spirit of grace. So come on. Come on, just give it to him right now. Jesus. 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 There he is. Makristene. Ene yolokristene. Evetiokristono. Ene kalasono. Get you, boy. In Jesus' name. Makarosono. He hasn't forgotten. He has not forgotten. Release that grace now. Jesus, Jesus. Alekolomaso. I want you to carry something back. Your hunger. Looking at the humility that's in your heart. Just to say, God, I know probably more than I've ever known, but I just throw it all down just to know you in a more powerful way. He's pleased with that. He's pleased with that. So this is a call to go into intimacy like never before, to fellowship. Go into that place. Go into that place. Oh, look at his day, yes, sir. To see an anointing coming stronger to your home, marriage, children, everything as a result of it. So, Father, now, in the name of Jesus, there he is. Jesus, Jesus, hallelujah. Jesus, you're hungry, aren't you? Yeah, I think so. More. Oh, hallelujah. He's got something for you. Wow. Wow. Okay. You can receive on that line for her. I seen a well inside of you. Just could not. It just thirsted, hungered. Wanted more. Wanted so much more. So right now, in Jesus' name, give it to her, Lord. There he is. In Jesus' name. Give it to her, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. Sister, in Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah, Father. Jesus' name. For more of you. For more of you, that whole family, Lord. Father, thank you for that daughter coming back in a stronger way than ever before. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, now. In the name. There he is. There he is. Kalamakuras. Mayandokarastini Yatana Soto. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we worship you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you knows he did something for him? Just let him just keep being ministered to. We'll just exhort a little bit. 1 Peter chapter 4. He said in verse 1, Peter writing to the churches, and if we were to back up, he was writing in chapter 1, verse 1, it said, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered abroad throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. He's talking to the church that was scattered in those different places. We taught a series on this, and we're not going to go into it very deep this morning, just exhort a few verses. But the church that is going in has got to hear this message. And the people that are hungry have got to hear it over and over again. Verse 1 of chapter 4, he says, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh." And he says, arm yourself. Everybody say, arm yourself. It means to be like him. Take upon the same mind. Philippians says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What kind of mind? Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be made, though equal with God, to be made a servant. Word slave, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Said he became obedient unto death. The sufferings that he went through was not just isolated to the last 24 hours of his life. The sufferings that he went through was a daily walk of obedience to the Father. It was a place of arming himself in a place of obedience where he continually bowed the knee of his flesh. Aren't you glad that God became a human being? Aren't you glad? Because otherwise, in the midst of our infirmity against the flesh and everything that we'd fight, we would indict God. We still do sometimes and don't understand that we do. Like, oh, you are God. You lived on this earth. You were God. It was God. But he did not face Satan or the flesh down through his deity. He beat the flesh and he beat the enemy through the same thing that you have. And that's a born again nature. That's the life on the inside. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so that's why it says that we can arm ourselves just like him. In other words, everything that he had and everything that he had while he was on this earth, we have existent in us today. Hallelujah. In us today. Arm yourself, he says this, likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has done what? He ceased from sin. Now, when it says he suffered in the flesh, it's not talking about, well, I went through a terrible disease and I suffered in the flesh, and that caused me to cease from sin. What he's talking about here is the suffering that takes place when you begin to bow the knee. When you begin to bow the knee and say, I choose to follow Christ. I will not let my flesh rule over me. Hallelujah. I will not. I choose to follow him and live a crucified life and let
the example of the Word of God. Everything that His Word describes who I am, that's what I will live and that's what I will be. I'll conquer the flesh and I'll conquer because how? Why? Because He did, and I can too. I can arm myself likewise. Well, the modern day church really knows very little about that. But it says this: He said concerning Him, Christ, that He no longer should live the rest of His time in the flesh, that we should no longer live the rest. That man giving himself over no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the times gone by or the past of our life, it may have allowed us or sufficed us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, in other words, the world, to living like the world. When we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banqueting, and abominable adulteries, wherein they, it says they, he was talking to the church, or he's talking to the church about the world and about what they came out of. He says, wherein they think it strange that ye, the church, run not with them to the same excess, to riot and speaking evil of you. Now he begins to talk about persecution for righteousness' sake. But he was talking about really what, once you come out of the world, and them thinking it was strange that you did not do the things that the world did anymore. And that's good kind of persecution. It's the good kind. It's the kind that suffering in the flesh will bring you once you bring yourself to a place to say, you know, I've separated. Not only have I been born again, I don't have to act like the world anymore. I don't have to live like the world anymore. And it said they'll think it's strange. Well, I said at one time, the world doesn't think it much strange of the church anymore because we live too close to the world. There's not really the persecution that I'm reading about right now, really. The suffering that I'm really reading about this morning is not too rampant in the church right now. It's not. But if you begin to suffer in the flesh and you say, I want revival, I love you, Lord. Well, what happens during that time? The Holy Spirit, if you give yourself over to the Holy Spirit, what He'll begin to do in your life, He'll begin a purging process. He'll begin a process where He begins to walk you out in a place where those things that were once destroying your life and keeping you from power, the Holy Spirit will begin to come and tenderly, as a father would, begin to purge those things out of your life. Hallelujah. That's what grace lines are for. Hallelujah. All those people from Ocala thought they were being blessed this morning. They'll find out in a week from now, oh my God, what did I get in that grace line for? The Holy Spirit won't leave me alone. That's right. But guess what He's doing? He's wanting to build us up to a place where He can come. He said there that they thought it strange. The world's supposed to think that you're different. They're supposed to think, wow, they're not fornicating. They're not lying. They're not stealing. The problem is the persecution in the last days is not going to come so much from the world, but it's going to come a lot and mostly from the church. Because the church has been so... become so calloused by the world and thinking that most everything was all right and sin wasn't sin, is that when the Holy Spirit comes in and He begins to change things, and some people begin to say, okay, God, I'll change my way of thinking. I never really thought that was all right, but nevertheless, I was real tolerant towards it. With the church is changing. How many of you know we're going into revival? It says, they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Let's skip on down to verse 12. It said, beloved, think it not strange. Well, this is what happens as a result of your separation sometimes and going in. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing was happening or had happened unto you. How many of you ever found yourself in a place and you're thinking, how did I ever get here? Amen, Joe. Verse 13, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God. Hallelujah. I heard the spirit of glory came in here yesterday. Just because of the love of God that was in a man's nature. Somebody did what do they call them, quinceañeras. And people were getting saved in here. Hallelujah. I don't know who that guy was, but he's sitting on the front row and he's got a beautiful wife. And I don't know how he got her, as ugly as Homer Betancourt is. Hallelujah. What is glory? It's everything that's in that new nature. But in this last day, choosing to walk into him might going to bring us some persecution. Well, I know the world's going to persecute us, Pastor. Yeah, some of that and the church too. But that's okay. Because guess what we're called to do? Not think we're better than them. We're supposed to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and be part of the love walk that'll bring in as many as we can into this walk in the last day. Not to put our nose up and say, well, we're some select group because we're calling on God for miracles. How many of you know he loves all of his church? He loves all of them that are blood washed. He says this, for if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in somebody else's Facebook. Oh, no. That's in other men's matters. Just live a quiet life and pray in tongues. Keep going forward. And I'm going to prove my point. Oh, be quiet, pray in tongues. Glory to God. How many of you ever won anything with an argument? Verse 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time, the word kairos, it's a season, it started then. Peter says it started now. Time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, that's the born-again believer, spirit-filled, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God be? What he's talking about there, he says, obey not the gospel of God. One of the reasons why he's wanting a revival in the last day, it's a couple different reasons, or several different reasons. One is that he's wanting to bring in as many in this harvest as he possibly can. But he's also wanting, as a just God, an ability to come back and judge the earth. He's wanting to come back and judge the earth. And now he's got the standard of his word, but the church hasn't really lived according to his word for the last 2,000 years. There's been seasons where there's been revivals. But the standard, you know, one of the reasons why that we're seeing the demoralization of America today, well, where did it come from? It came from this, that, and the other pastor. No, really it came from the standards of the church dropping and dropping and dropping and dropping. But in the revival, the standards of this, which is a shock, it's a real shocker because of the way it's preached in so many churches, that his grace, you know, just covers everything and you don't have to, you know, repent if you do certain things, you just because his grace is there. Thank God for 1 John that says, if I do sin, I have an advocate with the Father. Thank God that he will forgive. But thank God for a standard of his word. And one of the things that he's doing is he's coming in a strong standard of his word to come back so he can come back and say, look, I can judge the earth now because I had an example. I had an example of people that, number one, loved God. They weren't legalistic. They weren't haters. They loved people. They'd give their life for people. But they brought forth a standard of the word and said, look, this is the standard of his word. This is truth. We have to live by it. So he's wanting to do that. And he says, a time, a season has come. A kairos, a time has come. The judgment must begin at the house of God. And verse 18, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Now, he's not saying, we've covered this before, but when he says scarcely, that's not talking about, that's not the word in the Greek barely or hardly, which means, wow, I'm just saved today, and then, you know, I'm not sure, maybe tomorrow. You don't, that's not what he's talking about. You're saved or you're not saved. But what he's saying is scarcely is the word critically in the Greek. And it's not talking about your conception as a born-again believer. Like once you got born again, you were just like you had an umpire standing there. Oh, maybe they're saved or not saved. But he's saying the salvation that you're walking out is critically. It's a critical, he comes with a, and it's a beautiful criticism. In other words, it's everything that he's saying in 1 Peter is that for a standard to be in the earth, for a standard of revival to be in the earth, God starts first with his church, and he cleans that church up, or he brings that church to a place where he says, look, do you know that I love you? Yes. Do you know I'm your father? Yes. Do you know I will not do anything to hurt you? I do not take anything from you that I not give you life, strength. But it's the word here is critically, that if the saints critically be saved, in other words, if their walk is under a place where the Holy Spirit is continually critiquing them, not in a condemning way. He's not your accuser. I know who my accuser is. He's not your condemner, but he's the one that comes to you and empowers you to bring forth change in your life. And change brings about the Holy Spirit's ability to come into every part of your life and cause you to be more like Christ. So if the saints are critically or critiqued by the Holy Spirit on a continual basis for those that are yielding themselves over to him, what he's saying is that there will be a standard in the earth that one day salvation will be given to the nations more so because they'll say, look, they are different from us. They don't do the things that we do. They are different from us, and they've got the joy of the Lord in their life. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. He says in verse 19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him and well-doing unto a faithful Creator. Skip over to verse 10 of chapter 5. It says, and the God of all grace, everybody say all grace, all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that we have suffered a while, will do what? Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle us. Hallelujah. He does what? After that, we've suffered a while. Well, does he want me suffering? Yes and no. He doesn't want you suffering to mental anguish. He doesn't want you suffering to physical pain. He doesn't want you bankrupt. But what he does ask of you is to go to arm yourself, to go into a place to say, Lord, I've been hiding that fault in my life for years. I'd not even want to be, that's a room I don't go in. And I don't allow the Holy Spirit to go in there. He's wanting you to go and crack the door and say, I can't go in there, but Holy Spirit, I'm going to spend the next half hour praying in tongues. If you can go in there and make any sense out of that or clean that mess up, I'm allowing you now the opportunity, because I know that you're working in a loving Father as a loving way. You can go in there. I'm not going in there, but please go in there and work this thing out. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And the Comforter comes. Well, during that time, what is happening, the suffering that goes on in our life is a place where it's hard for us to bend the knee sometimes. It's hard for us to say yes, even when we think we want to. But the more that we do what? The more that we allow, the Word says in verse 6 of chapter 5, humble yourself. Do what? Humble yourself. Therefore, well, I'm just going to eat humble pie. That's not what it's talking about. I'm going to let them have the last word. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about humble yourself under God's hand, that he may exalt you. Exalt you what? Out of the trial. And also that he may bring your life to a place where he gets you past and through the purging process. Get you to a place where you get to where you're established, strengthened, settled, made perfect in that particular area of your life. Casting, verse 7, casting all your cares upon him, for he does what? He cares for you. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, does what? Walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. How many of you know this, that misery loves company sometimes? Come on. How many of you have ever been going through something and then call somebody and say, and then somebody said, oh, I'm going through something terrible, worse than you, and you go, oh, I feel pretty good now. I'll call Homer sometimes. He'll call me sometimes. And after I get off, I feel good. Because I know the devil's down at his house. And he'll call me and he'll find out he's over my place. Hallelujah. Again, verse 10, but the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that we have suffered a while, will make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. What's the duration? How quick does God want your test over? Yesterday. Yesterday. What's the duration? Why is the longevity of something change? Well, we need to change the devil. He's not going to change. We need to change God. God's not going to change. There's only one variable. There's only one of the three that can change. The devil is going to hell, and he's going to be incarcerated there forever because he's bad, he's mean, and thank God for his eternal incarceration. God is good. We're going to live in eternity with him. Those two will not change, cannot be changed. But I can be. I can be by the power of the Holy Spirit. My humbling myself is this. If I know to do good and don't do it, it's wrong. It's sin. I'm not humbling myself. Well, let's see. What's no to do good? Well, God told me to go bake them a cake and do, that might be part of it. God told me to call them and have them over and, that might be, take them out. But what about doctrinal things that change your life? What about things that you know that the Holy Spirit has placed in there that whether you saw it exactly like another man exactly taught it, you knew that praying in tongues would change your life. You knew that going to the Word of God and spending time in it, because at seasons of your life, he proved himself faithful in that. Just spending time on a daily basis would change your life. Once you get in a trial, the exaltation of pride sometimes is trying to figure your way out of it without doing the things that you know to do. The dying of the flesh. Listen. After you've made 1,000 phone calls and bled all over people trying to tell them your problem, you still got to go back to the prayer closet. You still got to win it in prayer. And sometimes the flesh does not want to humble itself. It knows that if it goes into that prayer closet, he's going to start talking to me about things behind the door. So rather than going in there, I'll just call you. I'll just call you and tell you how bad the pastor was. I'll just call you and tell you how much I disagreed with what or what's going on, or how your wife is treating you, or how your husband's treating you, and she's got the perfect husband and I've got the perfect wife. Hallelujah. So you won't hear. No, I'm just kidding. But listen, humbling ourselves. What is that? It's doing what we know to do, the things that we've been taught, not just from here, but by the Holy Spirit. Will he exalt us? Absolutely. Will he take us to a place where we are looking different? Do we want to look different for different sake? No. But we want the church and we want the world to look at us and say, they've got something I want. They've absolutely got something I want. Stand with me this morning. We worship you, Jesus. Would you just lift your hands and just begin to magnify him? We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. Just continue to just pray and worship God for a moment. Let me just, we don't want to ever assume that everybody that comes just automatically knows the Lord. What do we exist for? People to get saved. If you're here this morning, it's very possible that everybody here is born again. But if there's anybody in here this morning and we're all just praying or heads bowed, just giving reverence to the Lord and privacy to the people around us. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, or if you are here and you're coming from a long road back, you just need to renew a place of fellowship with Christ. If you've never come to that place where Jesus has become the Lord of your life, you've accepted Him, but there's things in your life that's taken you out for a while. If you need prayer this morning, if you need prayer before we leave here, we'll just pray for you. Is there anybody? Just lift your hand and we'll remember you in prayer. Anybody? You need Christ in your life. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. I didn't know if there was or not. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't being told by the Lord, but hallelujah. Glory to God. Can't you feel His presence? This is so wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. We glorify you. We're going to continue to worship. If you need prayer, I'm going to turn you loose in just a moment, but if you need prayer for your body or physical healing in any way, just come and stand. But right now, once again, let's just lift those hands and just magnify Him. We glorify you. We glorify you. Hallelujah. What's going on?
Our sister is in Ohio. She wanted to be here with us.
Okay.
She is in a lot of pain.
What is her name?
Her name is Sue.
Sue.
She's had back surgery. She's in a lot of pain.
Okay. A lot of pain. She's had surgery on it. She born again.
Yeah,
new baby Christian. Okay, good. Okay. We need a miracle, and her sister, she's had a back operation. She's suffering terribly. Your sister, both of your sisters. Okay, the two of you together. You're standing in faith, is it? Okay. Okay. Yeah. Let me listen to hear first for your sister, and then. Sue, is her name. Stretch your faith this way. Father, right now, would you send her a prayer call?
And it's flowing pure and deep and wide. God is calling out, saying, wait on Him.
Hallelujah. Barbara, come over here.
Never the same.
Jesus, we just release this glory, the glory of the first begotten. I call her back whole. I believe that when this touches her back, the manifestation of your glory goes with it. The severity of pain and places all over her body and other things that are related to this. In Jesus' name, we drive out sickness in Sue's body. We release your glory, Lord. Let the testimony of healing be manifest in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Okay.
Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen.
Jesus. Young man, his name's Ryan. His dad died when, last year?
There's a spotless lamb
Cain and Sharon,
that
birthday,
came
so it's a
to die.
To that
so
anger.
Every sinner,
oh, Jesus.
May have
love. That's what he needs, is love. Lord, I just release.
Just cry out,
come and captivate him, Lord.
He will save your soul.
Lord, if you have to visit him like a road to Damascus experience, come and get a hold of Ryan's heart, mind. Show him,
hallelujah,
Lord, that you're not the culprit here. You're not the one that did all this. Jesus, I release your love to him. You are such a good God. You are such a good God. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Let's just put, he might not take this, but just put it in his room, under his pillow, or someplace in his bed. Father, or Jesus' name, I release the glory of God. Praise God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Back problems, issues, and best of things going on.
Okay. Some back problems, too. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay. Father, in Jesus' name. Jesus, right now. Ladies, put your hands on her back, on her hips. In the name of the Lord, we command this to go out of your body. In Jesus' name. Now, whatever adjustments need to be made, Lord, Father, by your grace and glory. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
There's a healing stream.
Thank you, Lord, that these adjustments we've made.
From the throne,
this infection,
of God,
command it to go.
And it's flowing pure.
In the name of Jesus.
And deep and wide.
In the name of Jesus. Thank
God
you, Lord.
Calling out,
thank you, Jesus. Change.
Saying,
hallelujah. Change.
In. It can make you.
Yes.
Hey,
okay, she's up there.
The same,
huh? Yeah.
Again.
What's her name? Josephine. Lord, you know the timing. This is the time. Then, Lord, we just commit her to you. Father, we thank you that your hand is upon her, your grace now. Lord, all things by your grace and glory manifest now your love to Josephine. Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. She's going to be all right. One way or the other, that's for sure. One way or the other. Hallelujah. What is it, buddy?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Okay.
My body.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Lift your hands. Jesus, we release your love and your life.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Change. Change, Lord.
Hallelujah.
He lives out the rest of his life, and there is an absolute, amen, physical change. We thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you. These are the ones. We're actually standing here. We've been born for this purpose, Lord. We give you all the glory. I release life to him. I release life to him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Strength. Hallelujah.
There's a spotless lamb that came to die.
I didn't want to go home.
So every sinner,
okay,
may have life. If you just cry out,
okay,
he will save your soul. Wash you clean.
To a bad place. To, yeah.
And make you whole. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yes. Lord, we just pray for this entire family of children. Lord, what the enemy has meant for harm, God, that you can turn, that you can come back in and in places that we, Lord, only you can do this. But we're asking the Holy Ghost, we're releasing God upon each of their lives. Lord, the healing of their emotions, the loss of this father, all the fear, the anger, the anxiety, the confusion, all the things that the enemy's crept in with. Lord, we're asking you on an individual basis. Only you can come. But we pray there'll be such a turnaround in each one of their lives that you'll stand as a mother and give glory and praise to God. We release your life to them. Father, we're asking for that life now, and we're praying that that life will go into them. There's change their lives. Stream. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
And it's flowing pure.
Hallelujah.
And deep and wide. God is calling out, saying, wait on him. Never the same again. There's a balm that soothes all fear and pain, and it's melting every hurt away.
Yeah.
Refreshing oil of life.
Yeah.
Free to every man.
Well,
can bring the sick,
Father,
to life again.
I'm asking you for the courage. The courage.
Hallelujah.
Now, Lord, you can do all this at one time. And we believe this is a beginning. Something very, very, very strong.
Hallelujah.
Very strong.
Hallelujah.
Lord, there's going to be some trade-offs. Some trade-offs.
Hallelujah.
I pray that you'll show her how to humble herself in that place. That more grace come upon her. But I thank you. I thank you, Lord. James did say that we could call over. Call to the elders of the church, if there were any sick, Lord, that we could confess our faults. And I receive these things confessed, not as an ill confession, but as a confession of hope. God saying to her, there's a way of escape. There's no test, temptation come upon your life. Such as is common to man, but with everyone, God is able and willing to make a way of escape that you may be able to conquer it, to go past. In Jesus' name, show her that place of grace, Lord. And in the days ahead, I pray that, Lord, it will not be the same old, but it will be different, and that the steps that she can make with the grace of your strength upon her and the power of the Holy Spirit, there will be one step of deliverance after deliverance after deliverance after deliverance. And I release this to her in the name of Jesus. We call this day a great beginning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How you doing, Ralph? Better?
Free to every
no?
Man.
All right, stretch your faith this way.
Can bring the sick to life again.
Would be okay, you know, if you had to head over. Is having a real irregular heartbeat for several days. He's just on that place where he's either got to receive a touch right now or leave the service and head over. So, Father, we believe that there's not one ounce, one thing we can recline. Lord, I hate religion. Religion says if we don't go by some kind of strict regiment, he's not with us. You'd follow him to the ER just as strong as you'll do anything right now. You'd follow him right to the ER and do everything you could. But since we're relaxed on that, know we have that option. Since we're real relaxed on that, knowing you're not a tyrant, but you're a daddy, then we can relax enough to say, God, do a work right now. Do a work right now. In the name of Jesus, I speak to this heart, to the fluids that have built up over the last few days. I command it released in the name of the Lord. Be healed. Receive life. Receive life.
And it's flowing.
Receive life.
And deep and wide.
In the name of Jesus.
God is calling out. Saying, wait on him. It can make you whole.
In Jesus' name.
Never the same again.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
There's a balm that soothes.
Many of you remember Ralph today. Just lift him up. Hallelujah. We know he's healed. So, Father, we give you all the glory. Why don't you lift those hands and give God the glory for it? We give you all the glory. Thank you for it, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You can sit in this.
Hallelujah.
But you're free at any time, and we love all of you. Thank you for coming this morning.
Hallelujah.